Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast, the I'm feeling them good vibes edition, as the new look Bengals get ready for the start of training camp. Coming up, you'll hear from three people. First, head coach Zach Taylor, as he discusses the challenge of getting Joe Burrow ready to take over at quarterback with no OTAs, minicamps, or preseason games. Second, I'll talk to Sam Hubbard about trying to play football during a pandemic. And third, it's one of the best receivers in Bengals history, T.J. Hushmanzada, as he discusses John Ross, T. Higgins, A.J. Green, and his unique connection to Joe Burrow during Joe's time at LSU. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since the state of Maine. I recently went on a family vacation to Acadia National Park in Maine. We figured this would be the perfect time for outdoor activities away from crowds, so we hiked, kayaked, watched the sunrise on the top of Cadillac Mountain, the best sunrise I've ever seen, and ate lots of lobster. So if you are yearning to spend some time in the great outdoors, you should consider visiting Maine. There's a reason why most of the license plates in that state say Vacation Land. Now, let's get to football. I'm recording this on Wednesday, the day after Bengals veterans reported to Paul Brown Stadium for the start of training camp, although there will be several days of COVID-19 testing before the players are actually doing anything related to football. Zach Taylor did a 15-minute Zoom call with reporters on Wednesday, and a couple of things stood out to me. Number one, he said that everybody on the roster reported for camp, but would not say if anybody was considering opting out of playing this year.
You know, we'll keep that to ourselves right now. If players feel that way on our team or any other team, I'm sure they'll make it public, but right now we'll just keep that to ourselves. Those are personal decisions for those guys, and certainly we'll support those decisions. There's a lot of reasons for them. But again, I don't want to speak for any player in this league that's going through those conversations with their loved ones. And so, again, if those guys want to announce things, they can, but we're not going to make any comment on it.
Zach was also asked about the idea of quarantining one of his quarterbacks during the season to eliminate the possibility of the entire position group catching the virus.
It's something you have to consider and talk through, which we have. But you really have to imagine all scenarios as you go through this and just be creative and proactive. And so those are conversations we've had, but that's where it stands right now.
As you can imagine, Zach answered several questions about Joe Burrow, ranging from the challenge of getting him ready to play with no preseason games to the idea of having him sit as a rookie due to these circumstances. Zach made it clear that the Bengals have every intention of beginning the season with Joe Burrow at quarterback.
You know, we're going to put a lot on Joe right out the gate. And obviously, we've got weeks to sort out who's starting and all that good stuff. But Joe's going to walk in and take the first snaps at quarterback, and he's prepared for that. And we drafted him because we have a lot of confidence in him and what he's going to bring to the table. And so even with the uniqueness of what this training camp is going to look like, we're going to give him plenty of opportunities to get ready to play on week one.
Do you have in your mind a baseline of what realistic expectations are for Joe this year?
Play well in week one. You know, that's our starting point is Joe and really – our entire team, this is a different year than last year. We have a lot of guys who have grown from the experiences that we had last year, rookies and veterans, and we have a lot of new pieces to the puzzle as well. You know, a lot of free agents and rookies that we're depending on. And so it's not just Joe, it's everybody. We want to make sure that everybody's, we're giving them all the opportunities to hit the ground running on September 13th when our first game rolls around. And so that's our focus right now is making sure that all the positions are up to speed. We're going to give them all the things that they need in the meetings and practices so that as a team that we hit the ground running and we play really well in week one.
Zach, that seems like a lot to ask. You know, Joe hasn't no preseason games, no OTAs, no training camp. You know, do you feel like that's a pretty high measure for him to come in and immediately step in and play well in that opener against LA?
we took him because we've got high expectations for Joe. And from everything I know about him and have seen of him, he's got high expectations for himself. And so he's going to do everything he can to put himself in a position to be successful. I trust that. And I think when you guys get a chance to talk to him, you'll feel the same way.
Burrow agreed to contract terms on Tuesday and is expected to sign that deal on Thursday. Now, let's get to Joe's friend and former college teammate, Sam Hubbard. Earlier this year on Bengals.com, I predicted that Hubbard will be the team's defensive MVP this year. After having 6 sacks as a rookie, Sam finished second on the team with 8.5 last year, a half sack behind Carlos Dunlap. According to Pro Football Focus, Sam added 34 hurries and 6 quarterback hits. I think he winds up with double-digit sacks this year on a dramatically improved Bengals defense. And I spoke to the former Ohio State Buckeye this week. Sam, we're speaking on the day that NFL veterans report to camp, and in this case, your first COVID-19 test. Can you describe how you're feeling about going back to work under these strange circumstances?
Yeah, it's definitely unique circumstances, like you said, but we've been training for so long. I think a lot of us, all the guys, are just ready to get back to playing football, whatever that may look like, in the safest possible way. And, you know, it's going to be a different year in a lot of different aspects, but we want to get out there and, get on the field.
You have a unique perspective because your mom is a nursing supervisor and your sister is a nurse. How has that impacted your feelings about the protocols worked out between the NFL and the Players Association?
I think it just gives me, a sense of how important and how, vital it is that we all follow them and take it very seriously, because, there's a player responsibility aspect. All of us doing our part, staying socially distanced, following the protocols, not just for ourselves, but, for the benefit of our teammates so everyone can stay safe. I think that, it's a very serious situation that, they're with it every day, taking care of those patients. And, I'm just more aware and educated because of their experiences.
Sam, based on what I've seen, you did not let the pandemic slow you down in terms of strength and conditioning. How did you train this offseason, and has your physique changed?
Yeah, I trained really hard. We didn't have OTAs, so we were really able for 5-6 straight months to just focus on what I needed to do to get better as a player individually. And, it looked different. Some garage workouts, kind of isolated, focusing on, just working out by myself, my trainer. And, I just try to, work on every aspect, pass rush, run defense, strength, overall conditioning. I'm ready to go, and I'm just hoping it works out for the year.
We're talking to Sam Hubbard. As you mentioned, no OTAs, no mini camps, but there were a bunch of virtual Zoom meetings. What did you get out of those?
It was a lot of mental reps, a lot of film study, watching, remotely, installing stuff that, we all knew as veterans, but really got time to, break down my own film, see what I needed to improve on, and then, do it drills individually. It was more of a mental, off season in the play sense, on the field sense, taking those mental reps, but really trying to focus and improve my awareness and mental aspect of the game, because the reps just weren't existent without OTAs and stuff like that.
Normally in those OTAs, you get to know the rookies, you get to know new teammates. Were you able to do that at all over Zoom calls?
We did our best, FaceTimes, texts, Zoom calls. It's obviously an awkward situation. It's tough to really get to know somebody through the computer, but we made it work. We did our best. Coaches did a good job with the unique team bonding exercises, but I'm excited to get in the building once we're all cleared to get to know these guys and see what they bring to the table.
Let's talk defense. The team signed 8 unrestricted free agents. 5 of them could start on D. What was your reaction to that infusion of veteran talent on defense?
I loved it, just from a character, football character, and the reputations these guys had. I knew Vaughn. I've heard a lot about DJ Reader. Just the type of guys that they're bringing to the program is really exciting, because they do things the right way. They're coming from winning programs. Their competitors, and having them add to the talent we already have is going to help us a lot.
As you mentioned, you knew Vaughn from being teammates at Ohio State. What does he specifically add, both in terms of his locker room leadership and his play on the field as a safety?
He's a great leader. He's a very competitive individual. I played with him for 2 years at Ohio State, and he's just a true pro. He goes about his business the right way. Out on the field, he brings intensity. He's, you know, hard-nosed football player. Plays back in safety, but tackles like a linebacker. And, you know, he's just someone that you can always count on behind you to play physical, do his job, and in crunch time make some big plays.
Pro Football Focus recently ranked the Bengals' defensive line as the 10th best in the NFL. How does DJ Reader impact the entire group? And do you hope to play fewer snaps than the 853 you logged on defense last year?
DJ, yeah, he's a great player. When you turn on the film, you notice what a force he is, run stopping, and especially he's very good at rushing the passer from inside. I hope to be a little bit more on the edge this year with the addition of DJ, because he really can rush the passer, and we got some young guys coming in, Khalid Kareem on the outside, and a little bit of rotation. Hopefully be a little bit fresher. But, yeah, like I said, hopefully be outside a little bit more on third downs and stuff like that. But I'm just really excited overall with, the experience and talent we have on the defensive line.
We are catching up with Sam Hubbard. It's no secret that you and Joe Burrow are good friends. He reportedly agreed to a contract today. Do you remember your initial impressions of him at Ohio State? And what does it mean to you to be reunited in the NFL?
I've known Joe for a long time. I don't know if I remember my initial impressions. I just know that, ever since he stepped in the door at Ohio State, he was a competitor, one of the hardest working guys in the room. And that never changed with all the success. He's still that same guy. And, I'm really excited that they agreed to terms. And I know he's excited to get out there and meet the guys and, learn the offense and take hold of the football team.
Before the draft, did he pick your brain about the franchise?
We were talking. Obviously, he was in a position to be drafted very highly. We had a very high draft pick. So we had a bunch of conversations just about what we got going, the goals we're trying to accomplish. The guys in the locker room, the group of young talent, guys who want to win. And he was excited to hear about it and excited to have the opportunity to come be a part of it.
Sam, he used his Heisman speech to help the less fortunate where he's from, and you recently did something similar here in Cincinnati. You started a fundraising effort that helped raise more than $80,000 for the Free Store Food Bank, and it's going to help provide more than 250,000 meals. Was that eye-opening to you to know how big of an impact you can have with your platform?
Yeah, it was amazing to see all the support from the city, especially being from here, the support from my teammates, guys like Carlos, and the support from Cincinnati-based companies like Fifth Third, TriHealth. It was incredible. Obviously, it's tough times right now, but acts like that and coming together really, really inspired me to continue to keep working on things and using my platform for the better.
In year three, do you feel like a veteran?
Yes, I definitely do. I do feel like a veteran. And I'm trying to, show that with these rookies who are in a very awkward and tough situation, trying to give them some words of wisdom and help their learning curve and bring them along, and also, just be more of a leader and help take this team where we want to go.
I made the case recently that guys that are self-motivated, and I would certainly put you in that group, having a bit of an advantage this year, because I'm sure there are guys that work as hard as you do, but I'm not sure that anybody works harder. Do you feel like maybe your work ethic puts you a foot ahead considering the absence of OTAs and mini camps in the off season?
Yeah. Like you said, I pride myself on my work ethic and, put in a lot of work this off season. I really want to put it on display, and that's why I'm so hopeful and, really hoping that this season is able to go through smoothly. I know we got a lot of other guys that are very self-motivated and feel the same way. And we want to get out there and show all the work we put in and put it on display.
It's going to be a while before you have hard-hitting type practices. Do you have any concern about getting ready for the physical nature of football, considering the limitations that are being put on training camp?
I think we're in a very tough situation, and you know, there's not too many good ways to go about it, but the plan we have going forward gives us a little bit of a acclimation period, and we're just really going to have to be detailed in our reps and our preparation and getting our bodies right. And it's going to be unique. It's going to be a tough challenge, but I think we're up for it. And, you know, time will tell, but I like where things are going.
Well, it's exciting for Bengals fans to have the players reporting back to the stadium for the start of training camp today. And I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you from a distance, probably, or over a Zoom call sometime soon. Thanks for your time, Sam.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Here's an interesting nugget about Hubbard. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, Sam ranked second in the NFL last year on third down pressure rate at 17.5%, trailing only Benson Mayoa of the Raiders at 18.8%. The player who finished one spot below Sam Hubbard in that stat was two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year Aaron Donald. Anytime a defensive lineman ranks ahead of Aaron Donald in anything, it's worth noting. Before we get to our next conversation, here's a quick reminder that you can take your Bengals pride to the next level in 2020 with an official Bengals fan package from Prime Sport. The Bengals' single-season record for receptions isn't held by A.J. Green or Chad Johnson or Isaac Curtis. It's held by T.J. Hushmanzada, who hauled in 112 catches in 2007 en route to a Pro Bowl appearance. T.J. is a broadcaster these days for FS1, in addition to helping train wide receivers in the offseason. He also knows plenty about the Bengals' new quarterback.
TJ, let's start with Joe Burrow. You were one of the first people really singing his praises because you're wired in at LSU, where two of your daughters are going to be on the softball team. Describe your history with Joe and his coaches at LSU.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I probably was the first guy on TV to say that Joe was going to be drafted I really was. I wouldn't say bandwagon, but I was a big supporter of Joe before anybody was. I will say that. But just being up there and around it, they were just very optimistic that the 2019 college football season for LSU was going to go very well, and it was because of Joe. And after that Texas game, the first game of the season, I said, oh, man, this dude's going to be the first pick. He had a lot of weapons around him, and people always try to change it. Oh, man, he had all these great guys around him. Somebody has to get him the ball, and they helped him. He benefited from having great players to play with, and they benefited from having a great quarterback with great pocket presence and touch and accuracy as well.
Yeah, no question about it. A lot of people also say that the Joe Brady system pumped up his stats somehow, but I kind of look at it as the opposite, whereas the year before, their offense was so primitive that I don't know that any quarterback could have put up big numbers.
I could always make an argument to discredit anyone, or I can make an argument to pump somebody up and make them look good and put them on a pedestal. Did Joe Brady help LSU when he came? Of course he did. But I don't care how great a coach is. The players have to execute. You have to execute. And if you don't have a guy that can execute what needs to be done, it doesn't matter what's being called. I mean, if you look at LSU, you would have said they had – look at their offensive line. They didn't have anybody get drafted, if I'm not mistaken, in the first two rounds. But they were considered one of the better offensive lines in college football. And, yeah, they played well, but Joe's pocket presence and his ability to slide, step up, and just kind of maneuver in the pocket, he helped those guys out. But a lot of that gets overlooked because Joe is a guy that kind of came out of nowhere. Oh, you transferred from Ohio State, you weren't good enough to play. And so when guys come in situations like that, they always look to give the credit to someone else and saying, this guy, we just didn't evaluate him the right way.
Your oldest daughter was there last year on the softball team. Did you get caught up in the excitement because she was there? you know, living out that season as an LSU student?
Oh, man, yeah. Like, I pulled for LSU like I went to school there. Like, I was an alum, to be honest with you. We watched every game. My son, he's an avid football fan. I mean, he pretty much knows everyone. He feels he's going to go to LSU. But, yeah, I pulled for LSU like I was an alum. Yeah, I was really into it.
That's funny. We're talking to former Bengals Pro Bowler T.J. Hushmanzada. You were in your third year with the Bengals when Carson Palmer arrived as the number one overall pick. So I'm sure you can remember, you know, what you were looking to see out of him. What will the veterans be looking for when they start practicing with Joe Burrow?
Joe just has and again, I was around him leading up to the pre-draft process, you know, training with Jordan Palmer. He has a sternness about him. Like, just a natural leader, man. He's not going to let anybody run over him. And I don't think anybody will try to run over him just because of the way he carries himself. He's going to command respect right away. And that's what the Bengals need is – the Bengals are talented, man. And I talk to people, and when I get on TV, it feels like I'm a homer. Oh, you're just saying that because you played for the Bengals. But I really believe the Bengals have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. I thought last year they were kind of lacking in the linebacker department. They kind of upgraded that in the draft. These guys can produce and help early. But when you look at their team, skill players from receivers to running backs, tight ends, quarterback, you can look across the league and say, wow, the Bengals match up with anybody skill player-wise. Now, if this offensive line can come together, you get Jonah Williams back, who missed his entire rookie year. If they can come together, the Bengals can surprise some people, but it's not going to be easy because arguably the AFC North and the NFC West are probably the two toughest divisions in football.
If Roethlisberger is Roethlisberger.
I mean, Ben has been one of the better quarterbacks in the league for a long time, and I think people are starting to realize, like, when Ben plays, the Steelers are going to be good. If he's Ben, they're going to be good, and it's going to be tough to beat them. The Ravens are going to be good, and you look at Cleveland, it's kind of similar to Cincinnati. If they play to their potential, it's going to be a dogfight, man, in that division.
We're talking to T.J. Hushmanzada. Let's turn to the wide receivers, because you've spent a bunch of time working with John Ross in recent off seasons. Where is he physically and mentally right now?
Physically, he should be good. You know, just kind of trial and error, trying this, trying that. How you feel, Ross? I feel good. Okay, let's stick with that. And with Ross, he is just so physically talented. And I tell him this all the time. I said, man, Ross, if we could switch roles, two things. Like, if I could give him my mentality or he could give me his talent. Oh, my God. Those two combinations would make the best receiver to ever play, in my opinion. The only guy in the league that I could say could do what he does is Tyreek Hill. And, like, he's that talented. He's fast. He's quick. He catches the ball well. He just has to believe he has all these qualities. And a lot of me working with Ross is working with him mentally as well is when it's easy to be confident when things are going well, can you be confident when things are going bad? And so if he can maintain his level of confidence when things aren't always great, the Bengals are going to have a problem on their hands with A.J., Tyler Boyd, Draft, and T. and Ross because so many balls to go around. But Ross is the only guy on that team that can do what he does, and that will always separate him.
You played with a chip on your shoulder going back to the draft, and you always thought you were one of the best players in the league and played like it. How do you put that attitude into John Ross?
It's just talking to him and just letting him. I tell him all the time, like, bro, you were drafted in the top 10 for a reason. And carry yourself that way. Don't worry. And I get it, though. It's me and him have had long discussions about I get it. If you go back to his rookie year, I don't know if you recall this, but I recall it. The first time he touched the ball in the NFL game, do you know what happened?
He fumbled.
And they didn't play him the rest of the year. They didn't play him the rest of the year. Now, you tell me any human being, what would that do for your confidence?
Kill it.
And so it killed his confidence because he sent me video of practice. And I didn't even know him that well at that time. I hadn't even started working with him. And the video that he sent me of practice, nobody can cover him. And so you're playing well in practice, but they're not giving you an opportunity to possibly play well or not play well in the game. And so I believe it affected him mentally, and it killed his confidence. And so working with me is just, yeah, we work physical, obviously, a lot. But it's really the mental part of don't let what happened a few years ago mess with your confidence. And I believe Zach Taylor tried to give him that confidence back. Earl, I mean, if Ross doesn't get hurt early last year, who knows what type of season he has, because he came out guns blazing. He came out to shoot and did very well early. And so I try to give him my confidence and just make everybody has that confidence. You just got to keep it in you. I was angry, and I played that way. I felt like I was overlooked, and I played that way, and I practiced that way every day. He's not me, and I'm not him, but hopefully some of that rubs off on him.
So, TJ, leading up to this year's draft, you did work with T. Higgins, and the Bengals called you to pick your brain about him before taking him with the first pick of the second round. Describe T.
He's a good player, man. He kind of reminds me of AJ. Tall, big dude, can really run routes and fingertips. Gets in and out of breaks like a little guy. Big catch radius. And that's the thing. They have weapons. Like T is, if he reaches his potential and he maxes out, he has the potential to be one of the better receivers in the game of football if he doesn't leave any meat on the bone, so to speak. He just has to reach his potential. And the good thing is he can learn from somebody like AJ. He's a little taller than AJ, but AJ always gets overlooked when you say who's the best receivers in the league because he's been hurt the last couple of years. But if he's healthy, it's going to be good for T because he's going to be able to learn from one of the better receivers in the game.
Did you have T ranked as the second best receiver in this class?
I thought T was probably top three receivers. I thought Jerry Jeudy was the best receiver. And then you can kind of pick and choose. Did you like the speed of Ruggs? Did you like the toughness and the run after the catch of CeeDee Lamb? Did you like everything that Justin Jefferson did? I think IU from Arizona State is going to be a really, really good player. But all those guys, I thought T was a first-round pick, to be honest with you. But, again, in Cincinnati, it's going to be tough because even if T is ready to play, AJ is going to be the best receiver on that team if he's healthy. Tyler Boyd can play too. And so they got guys that can play. And if Ross stays healthy, he does something on the team that nobody else can do. He stretches the field with great speed and great quickness. And so the Bengals have a problem on their hand. It's a good problem. But if everybody's healthy, it's going to be tough for T just because he's a rookie and it's different. But again, it's a good problem to have, and Zach Taylor will figure it out.
I'm glad you mentioned John Ross because he reminds me of you. He doesn't get a ton of hype, but he's tough as nails, great route runner, good feel for the passing game. Do you see some of that when you watch him?
You mean Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I said Ross, I meant Tyler Boyd, yep.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd, he's not going to, a lot of it too, though, he would probably get a little more credit if the Bengals start to have some success. Because when you think the Bengals, honestly, you probably think Geno Atkins, A.J. Green, maybe Joe Mixon. And so everybody else tends to get overlooked. If the team will start to have success, Tyler Boyd is good. He's a good route runner. He gets in and out of breaks. And that's why the Bengals have receiver. I mean, you can just look across the league. If you say top three receivers, if everybody plays up to their potential, the Bengals easily have one of the better receiving corps in the league. And if Joe can play well early, it's going to be a surprise for people, but it won't surprise me because he has guys around him like he's had at LSU. Joe does a good job of giving his receivers a chance to win. and he's accurate with the ball. And if he can do this in Cincinnati, the Queen City gonna be rolling again on offense like we had it when we were playing.
Would love it to be 2005 all over again. A.J. Green turns 32 on the last day of the month. How much great football does he have left in him?
Man, age, like people, the way the game of football is now, like, honestly, A.J. can play, if he stays healthy, he can play at a high level for 4 to 5 more years. High level. High level. And the game of football is different. Like, I'm 42. I have weighed the same for 20 years. I still in shape. I still have abs. I only work out a couple times a week. The game of football is different. If guys are staying in shape, AJ, in essence, his body should be healthy, if it's healthy, if that makes any sense, because he's been hurt for the last couple years. And so, AJ's phenomenal, man. I tell people all the time, if you want to learn how to get off of press coverage, even if the release isn't a great release, it will be a great release by watching AJ. Like, AJ is just so violent at the line of scrimmage that even if it's not good, it's going to work because he believes in it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to AJ reminding people that he's AJ Green. I'm looking forward to that because he doesn't talk a lot. He's not going to hype himself up. And I don't even know AJ that well, but I'll hype him up. I'm looking forward to him reminding people how good he really is.
Joe Burrow has never thrown to these guys. No OTAs, no mini camps. It looks like there will be no preseason games now. How big of a problem is that?
It could be a hindrance. It could be somewhat of a problem. But you would think in practice, they're going to get a ton of reps in practice and training camp. And hopefully that's enough. It's going to take some time where guys like the ball, what Joe likes. But this is the NFL. You know, we're going to work out. They're going to work at it every day. And so, again, everybody's in the same position for the most part. Tom Brady, Tampa, they've been working out. A little different with the Bengals. I don't believe Joe has thrown with any of them. Joe has thrown with Ross. I got them together, but that was so long ago that you kind of got to rediscover that cohesiveness they had. But it will be different. I believe they'll find a way to figure it out. But, yeah, it does put them at somewhat of a disadvantage with no OTA and maybe no preseason games. Who knows what happens?
I have two questions left for TJ Hushmanzada. Number one, when Steelers fans recognize you, do they give you crap for shining your shoes with a terrible towel after winning in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Still to this day, but it's all fun. It's nothing malicious. But yeah, what made you do that? And I was like, I don't know. It just kind of just happened. I didn't plan it. It wasn't premeditated. It just was spur of the moment type of thing. But yeah, they'll still give me crap about it, and then remind me how they beat us in the playoffs.
Thanks to Kimo von Allhoff. And unfortunately, all right. Final question: do you remember the time that you pranked me?
No, what happened?
this was great. So March of 2005, you're about to sign your first big contract extension with the Bengals. I'm working for Fox 19 at the time. I think there was a midnight deadline for you to make a decision. So I'm calling you and trying to get an update before going on the air on the 10 o'clock news. And I get you just before going on and you say, man, I've decided to leave, had a great time in Cincinnati, but I'm moving on. So I'm writing down on a notepad, and I'm bummed out because, you know, you're just coming into your own. I was really excited about it. And then just about the moment I was going to hang up, you said, man, I'm playing with you. I'm re-signing with the Bengals. So the good news is I had a scoop for the top of the 10 o'clock news. The bad news is you almost broke my heart.
Yeah, that does sound like something I would do. I do that often. Mess around, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't recall that, but that is something that if, now that you said it to me, I'm like, yeah, that is something that I would do. I actually do that often, still to this day.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is, that's with somebody, and they really think that, oh, wow. And then I got to tell them, like, no, I'm just playing.
You had me, but the good news is, you know, before I went on the air, you set me straight. So it turned out fine. I just had about a 1 minute stretch of being heartbroken.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a good thing that I didn't let it go a little longer. You got off the phone and I'm like, oh, let me know. Let me know. I'm just playing around.
Yeah, especially because that was pre-text days. So you would not have been able to fire me off a quick text to set me straight.
Things change, right? Pre-text, pre-social media, crazy.
Hey, I really appreciate you doing this. Always love getting your insight. Love the work you're doing for FS1, and I hope to see you at Paul Brown Stadium when that's allowed again.
I will be there, and I appreciate it. Thank you for your time, man. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
My thanks to TJ and Sam Hubbard, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.